Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, that says, Ha'oretz me'iza makom nivreis, it's in Parak Beis, from where was the world made? Where did the world start from? And the Gemara's answer is, Misheleg shetachas kisei hakavod, from underneath the snow that is by the kisei hakavod. It's under the kisei hakavod is a pile of snow. Lokach v'zorak al amayim v'nikbu amayim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu takes all the snow, throws it on top of the water that the earth had, and the water congeals. V'nasa afar ha'aretz, and that creates the dirt of the ground. Shnamar ki l'sheleg yamar hu aretz, because the snow, says Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is the land. Pasuk in Iyu, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Vav. That's what Perek Yudei Rabbi Eliezer says. An unbelievable thing that the world is created through snow. Why would that be? Why would the world have been created through snow? To answer that, we need a little bit more. Is Yerushalmi Chagiga, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, that says that originally the world was created Mayim B'Mayim. Originally it was water on top of water. And then a Kadosh Baruch Hu brought about the Sheleg, and the snow allowed the world to become Eretz. Very similar to the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which is a little bit different. The question is, what does that mean? Mayim b'mayim, and then all of a sudden it turns into snow. What does that mean exactly? Why does that Sheleg? And a third Mari Malkum, before we start answering the question. Mesechta Gehenim, one of the Mesechta Sketanos, which are not considered part of our shas, but nonetheless are known as smaller Sfarim. Question exactly who exactly wrote them. In Perek Gimel says the following, B'chol Erev Shabbos, every Erev Shabbos, referring to the people of Gehenim, Molichanos some of the Beis Harei Shelek, they are brought, the people of Gehenim are brought to the two mountains filled with snow, Umanichan Osam Sham, and they place them there. The people in Gehenim are allowed to sit in the mountains of snow for all Shabbos long. They get to cool down from the fires of Gehenim. Uvemotze Shabbos, and Amotze Shabbos Machzir in Osam and Koma Gehenim. On Motze Shabbos, they're brought back to their places where they belong in Gehenim. Mehen, Notlin Shelik. And some of the people there take snow. Then Nosten Tachas Bote Shachayim. And they put it underneath their armpits. Kidelit Sananun Osam Devavi Meachol. Said they can be cooled down during the 6 days of the week when they're in the fires of Gehenim. Hashem Omer Lech. Kadosh Baruch Hu calls out to them and he says to them, Rishayim, you evil people, Oilechem, Sha'af the Gehenim Atem Gozlan. Woe to you that even in Gehenim you're stealing and you're taking from the snow and grabbing it for yourself. An unbelievable Gemara, Mesechta Gehenim, or Bryce at least, whatever it's going to be, from where it says over here. So we have three Bryces, two of them dealing with the world being created through snow, and the third to the fact that the punishment of those people that go to Gehenim, their reward is only given to them in the snow, specifically in the Shelek. Why is the reward given to them in the snow? So Rav Dessler, in his Chelek and Gemul, in his Chelek and Rewards, on page 299, asks the obvious questions. The obvious questions, and the final one, and Mesechta Gehenim, he says, number one, how can you sin when you're already in Gehenim? How can you steal something when you're in Gehenim already? How could that be? That's number one. Number two, he says, how could they steal if it's a makom hefker? Who says, what snow is stolen? You take snow off the ground, you turn it into a snowball, nobody thinks that's your snow, even if it's in my backyard. That's not my snow, I don't own that snow, it's hefker thick snow, you think. That's number two. Number three, how does it help them if they're going to be cooled down, but then they won't get the punishment they deserve in Gehenim? These guys are supposed to get a punishment in Gehenim, and they're taking snow and they're putting it in their armpits. Even if it worked, even if they were able to get out of it, even if they were able to go to Gehenim with the snow underneath their arms, but they're not getting the punishment that they're supposed to be getting. They're supposed to be in fire and they're not. They're in snow. So how is that possibly their... how is that a nachas ruach if they're not supposed to have that as the reward? But Dessler says, you have to know this. Gehenim is not a tikkun. It is not fixing up what you did in this world. It does not teach you how to do the right thing. All Gehenim is, its purpose, is to destroy the ra within one's neshama. But it does not change your mindset from what it is. It doesn't. It doesn't fix your issues. People think they'll die, and then all of a sudden things will be better and everything will be okay. You are the exact same person you are here when you die. Your neshama has the exact same attitude, the exact same issues, the exact same, so to speak, boredom or ideas or issues. Whatever you have, they're there after a person passes away. And whatever ra you have with you, that is burned off in Gehenna. That's burned off, but it does not help you realize the MS any quicker. There are two rayas that are brought for this concept. Number one is Gittin and Vavam and Aleph. Nivavam and Bez and Zainam and Aleph. I wrote down the Mari Makam wrong. Unculus asked Titus. He asked Bilam. He asked something, we don't know, Osoa Ish, which may be referring to Yeshu. He asked them, and he says, who are the kings in that world? Who is in charge in Olama Emes? Who is in charge? And he said, the Jews. He said, should I become one? Should I become a Jew? Is that my job? Is that what I'm supposed to do? And they said to him, don't be a Jew. All three of them in different wordings, just a little bit different from each one, said, don't do it. It's not worth it. One of them said you should fight them. The other one said that don't touch them. Regardless, he said, don't do it. Don't become a Jew. Whatever you do, don't become a Jew. Takasha, is that, how could they say that? They see who the Emes is. The Emes is with the Jews. How could they say to Uncle not to become a Jew? How could they even think that way? The answer is, you don't change. You're the exact same person. You could be sitting in the midst of Gehenna and nothing is different. It's the exact same thing as if you're here. And the second raya is from a Gemara of Babasa, Gap Ayin Dalit. It's also mentioned in Sanhedrin that the Blue Korach, those who were swallowed up in the ground by Adat Korach, there was a Rabbah Barachana Gemara. Rabbah Barachana was taken by an Arab merchant to go hear them, and he listened to the ground and he heard the Blue Korach, those who were swallowed up by Korach, those who were swallowed up by the ground. He heard them saying, Moshe Emes v'Sorasso Emes v'Hein Badoyin. Moshe is true, the Torah is true, and we are liars. We are liars. The line that everybody asks is, if they're already at that point where they're saying Moshe Emes and Sarasu Emes, then they should be out of Gehenna. They learned their lesson. The answer is, Hein Badoyin is not what they say. Hein Badoyin is the Gemara saying, they are liars. They don't mean it. They're saying it only from the outside, from the lips and on the outside, but they don't mean it, even though they've been in Gehenna this whole time. They don't really mean it. They're saying Moshe Emes and Sarasu Emes. But when you look at them, you see they have a sly smile on their face. They don't mean it. They still don't think that Moshe Emes and Sarasu Emes. And that's why they're still in Gehenna. That the Blue Korach are still swallowed up by Gehenna, because the way you are in Olam Hazeh, that doesn't change. When you go to the next world, it's the exact same thing. So Rav Dessler quotes Zohar. He says that the Rishayim get their schar for the mitzvahs that they do on Shabbos. That when they need to get rewarded for mitzvahs that they do, that they didn't get rewarded for in this world, they get the reward on Shabbos. So Shabbos is the bechina of their mitzvahs. The weekdays, the 6 days of the week, are their averos. They're punished for the whole during the weekdays. They're rewarded for their mitzvahs on Shabbos itself, and that's what happens. But the Rishayim don't think that they're evil. They think anything they did in this world, they had a reason for it, they had a purpose for it, there was something good. So they take the snow and they put it underneath their arms, saying, that wasn't an evil deed that I did over there that I'm getting punished for. That was a good deed. Taking the snow means they're adding on kedusha, or the coolness, so to speak, the mitzvos, putting it in to themselves and saying, I'm not doing something that's terribly bad, I'm doing something that's bad together with a little bit of good. That's what I'm doing over here. They're ma'ariv it together. That's what they're thinking of themselves, and that's what they're doing, their concept, what they're trying to do over here. Even in Gehenna, they don't get it. They have no idea what's going on. Deep inside, we know that when we do something wrong, we know there's something wrong with it. But on the outside, we say to ourselves, this is a mitzvah right now. This is what I need to do right now. I need to rest, because if I rest, then I'll be able to do, I don't know, second Seder a little bit better. I think to myself, well, listen, if I go out really quickly now, maybe if I stay up and I study for this test, then I won't have to take off morning Seder the next morning, and then you sleep through morning Seder anyway. It's something silly, something so silly, where you know it's not the best idea. You know you're doing something wrong. Nonetheless, you mix in a little bit of goodness, and you're like, yeah, it's really a little bit of good. And that's the snow that you're putting on. The people are saying, the Rishayim are saying, I don't deserve this. It's an act of hearsay on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You claim that I deserve to be in Gehenna. I don't deserve to be in Gehenna. They take the snow and they throw it in there, to which a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you Rishayim. You don't even realize. You don't even realize, even when you're in Gehenna, you still don't realize what you're being punished for. You still think you did the right thing. How could this be? That's what it means by Ganavin. You guys are going own dots. You're stealing your own dots. You're not realizing even now what you did wrong. That's the remez of the brisa. That's what the brisa stands for. So we're seeing something over here. Snow, according to Rav Dessler, in this medrash, refers to some type of mitzvah, something good, something positive, something positive. So why does Shelag represent mitzvos? Why that? Rav Shuster, who was a Rebbe here in Yeshiva years ago, he left, I think, in 98, something like that, 99? Oh no, 94, 95, yeah, that makes sense, right after we were there, 94, 95. So Rav Shuster, who's now a Rebbe in Chappelle's, Darkei Noam, in Eretz Yisrael, tremendous, tremendous person. He told me once, years ago, that Shelag is the Gematria of 333. It's not a coincidence when you have a number that's 3, 3, and 3. 3 in the hundreds, 3 in the tens, 3 in the single digits. Same thing with 2, 2, 2, that's Baruch. Baruch Aleinu as Hashem Azos. Baruch is always 2. Shelag is 3, 3, and 3, a complete combination of 3s. The pshat is, snow is different from everything else. It's not water, it's not a liquid, but it's not ice, it's not solid either. It's sort of a mixture in between the two. You can mold it, you can shape it, you can do things with it. It's almost like Play-Doh, and we all love Play-Doh. Everybody loves Play-Doh. You can play with it quite a bit, silly buddy. It's something that's different. You feel like it's the middle of everything. See, there's no real substance to it, but there is. You can feel it. If it gets thrown at you, you know it hurts. It's there. There is something to it. There are midos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed within our world. Now, though we don't get them, and I don't like going into spheros, because unless somebody is either an idiot or over the age of 100, he doesn't really, well, I shouldn't say that, there are gedolim out there. We don't really understand the spheros, and we don't really understand what these things go with, but we can understand a little bit. We can understand there's a concept known as chesed, midas adin, and then finally rachamim. That we can get. And I think that's an easy thing to understand. The levels of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That we can get. Even if we can't go into the whole Netzach and Hod and Yesod and Malchus, those things are a little bit harder. But getting the understanding, the full understanding of what it is by Chesed, Din, Gevura, and Rachamim, that we can get a little bit. See, Pshat in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, as well as the Yerushalmi, and what they're saying, the world is created with snow, is something obvious. We all know HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world. He wanted to create the world with Midas Adin. But we know that it wouldn't work. So what did he do? He added on Chesed. And he created a world of Rachamim. One stands for Chesed. Two stands for Din. And three is the combination of everything. Three is Rachamim. Yaakov is the Mukher of Avos. He's a combination of Avram's Chesed and Yitzchok's Midas Adin, and he creates the concept of Rachamim. Something that's a perfect combination of everybody together. That's what he stands for. Shelag is the combination of water, which is Chesed, and ice, which is Din. And he creates the perfect combination. Snow is that combination, which is perfect. It's all together. So when we're saying that the world was created with snow, what we're saying is that the world was created with Rachamim, with a combination of Chesed and Din. Not just with one or the other, which the world would not be able to subsist or last or anything. We're creating the world with something that would last, that would be able to be there forever, in which there would be a combination. It would be perfection, so to speak. Rabbi Victor Miller has a tremendous definition. He goes through the concept of snow and how it applies. He says, a snow is a beautiful, white, pristine creation. That until somebody ruins it, you look out at something without any footsteps, just the snow on the ground, snow on trees, hanging on there. It looks beautiful. It looks beautiful. It seems that everything's clean. Everything that's dirty on the ground is thus covered up. But there's more to it than just the beauty of the snow. We all like whites because of the combination of all colors, not the absence of all colors. Okay, combination of all colors, that's white. I know that's hard for everybody thinks from kindergarten because you put all your colors together and it makes black. That's a combination of all colors. Black is the absence of all color. White is the combination of all colors. That's what it's supposed to be. So if you have that, we think that that's just it and there's a beauty, there's a pristine beauty behind it. There's more to that than just the white beauty, the pristineness, the idea behind snow. Snow is an insulator. The whole ground would freeze. Animals would die. The bugs that we need in order to make the world fertile, in order to have plants, in order to have things grow, they would all die if there was no such thing as snow. Because if you have a pile of snow that goes on the ground that stops the frost from getting into the ground. It's an insulator. One of the best places to be when you're freezing cold is surrounded by snow. Okay, well, the better place to be would be in a heated room. But after that would be inside a snowy area. That's the concept of an igloo. It's not just stom that they put an igloo together. It's because that does keep out snow. It is an insulator. By doing that, it allows the ground to regrow itself. It repels snow rays. It doesn't take it in and melt it quickly. The ability of snow to be there for so long, the reason why your snowmen have always lasted for so long, is because it repels the snow rays, which the sun's rays, which allows it to look as white as it does, and thus it stays for longer. We all know that. When you see people that are in the desert, armies, whatever it is, they always have light clothing. Even if it doesn't necessarily match their surroundings. The reason why they have that is because white allows the sun to be repelled and it doesn't take it in. Unlike black, which brings in the light and makes you warmer, makes you hotter. See, what Akadosh Baruch Hu did when he pulled out the snow from underneath the Kizia Kavod to make the world run, is he allowed the world to run in the perfect way. In a way of Rachamim, where it's not just chesed, not just din, but everything all together. And that's the Yerushalmi. Mayim b'mayim. That not just water everywhere. You think, why couldn't God have made just a world full of chesed? Just let water and water. He realized that that's not the way the world can work. He has to make it out of snow. And that's the pshat behind these types of things. And that's the concept of mitzvos, of what Shelag stands for and why it's 333 over anything else. This is the idea behind it. Now we can understand the Gemara. Yuma, the Flamet Hayam Abiz, mentions there are three people when we go up to Shemayim after 120. They're going to say to you, no matter what your excuses are, they're going to knock you down. One of the excuses are that I was too poor. I didn't have enough money. I needed to work. And therefore, I couldn't learn. I had no ability to learn. I had to work so hard in order to pay tuitions and camp and everything else that I had to go through. I just had no time to be able to learn. I was so busy, there was nothing I could do. And the Gemara says that for that person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring up Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken. Do you know how poor Hillel was? And we all know the story that Hillel HaZaken was so poor that he would only make a trapik per day, and half a trapik he would give to his family to be able to eat, and the other half he would give to the guard in front of the base medrash so he'd be able to go learn every day. Somebody who's paying his yeshiva tuition with a half a trapik. So you see, the tuition is not a new thing. You see, the tuition is an old thing. It was a lot. I mean, if he's making a trapik per day and the guard of the base medrash is making a half a trapik, I mean, that's a lot of money, right? That he had to give up every single day for it. We all know what happened. One day he wasn't able to sell his wood. It was on Erev Shabbos. And that night he had nothing. He couldn't go into the base medrash. He didn't know what to do. So he stood on top of the base medrash and he sat and he listened to Shmaya and Avtalion give their shiurim in the base medrash. Now I'm not positive. My assumption is this happened in Eretz Yisrael. Hillel originally was from Bavel, but I don't know if he learned under Shmaya and Avtalion in Eretz Yisrael or in Bavel. I assume it was in Eretz Yisrael. While he was sitting there, it was freezing cold, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put down upon him 3 amos of snow, says the Gemara. 3 amos of snow. Now, aside from that, we've all been to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim shuts down when an inch of snow goes on the ground. 3 amos is altogether, we're talking, how much? We're talking 18 inches of snow altogether? 18 inches of snow that's going on top of it. We're talking 3 amos altogether. It's 18 tefachim, I don't know, maybe 27, 30 inches altogether on top. 30 inches of snow fell in Yerushalayim, all on top of Hillel, while he's sitting and listening to the shir from the top of the base medrash, sitting right there in Yerushalayim. That's unbelievable. But it could be that it's a remnant, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing Hillel that there's more to it. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given chesed to Hillel and allowed him to have enough money to go into the base medrash. Or he could have done midas adin and never allowed him to go to the base medrash. But there's rachamim being shown to Hillel. There was rachamim with the snow. If snow is an insulator and it was freezing cold outside, then the way that Hillel survived was because the snow fell on him and surrounded him on all sides, that he didn't freeze. Had he not had the snow, he might have frozen to death. If he did have the snow, now that the snow's on him, at least he was able to be protected, at least something was able to be on top of him, so he was able to be out in that cold and not get hurt by it, not be affected by it. It's amazing. It's amazing what Hillel was able to do by sitting on top. And the remez of three amos, Dafka three, is because that's what Shelag stands for. Shelag refers to Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, how do we apply this? What do we do for ourselves, and how do we bring this in? So we understand that there's a concept of chesed. We understand there's a concept of din. There has to be Rachamim. And that deals with your daily lives as well as how you treat other people. See, it can't be that you go about your life yelling at people the entire time. I like to say that's my job. It shouldn't be. But you can't go about yelling at people the entire time. You can't live life that way. There's no way. But you can't go about being this naive little guy also. You can't go about assuming that everything's going to be okay and just letting it be bechesed and letting everybody trample all over you. The proper way to live life is to know when to speak and to know when to stay quiet. To know when to say something and to know when not to. To understand when to use your abilities, your strengths, your power, and when to hold yourself back. And when to say, I was wrong, or I'm sorry. And something like that, in any which way. And that deals with life, that deals with friends, that deals with wives, that deals with everything. You have to know when to say, I was wrong, when to say, I'm sorry, and when to say, no, I think I'm right on this one, and when to say, I think that you owe me an apology. You have to know when to say that. The last two may not be used in a marriage, ever. You may not ever use them. But the first two have to be used all the time. In everything you do, you have to know when to use this and when not. See, here's the point of what Snow shows us. And the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu brought it into the world. And the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world that way. To know, don't be an extremist. Derech HaMamutza. To allow yourself to understand that there's a middle ground. To not just be one way or the other, but to use both sides to come to a middle ground, something that makes sense for you to be a better person. That's the way it should be. And if you utilize it correctly, then the snow becomes a tremendous bracha, an insulator, something that protects you, something that allows things to be pristine, beautiful. If rachamim is used in the best way, it becomes something called tiferet, splendor, a beauty which is radiating forth, something that's just shining forth. If it's utilized correctly, more so than chesed and gevurah, more so than those two, if utilized correctly, and that's what we have to take on for ourselves. To look at the snow, to understand what it represents, and to say to ourselves, here's how I'm going to be today, tomorrow, in the future, what kind of a person I'm going to be. That's the way to be able to go. We'll continue along these themes next week, but for now.